Hi there. This is Michael C. Patterson, your host of the Mind Ram podcast, which explores the topics of brain health and mental flourishing. Today's episode focuses on the mental flourishing side. This is the text from an article I wrote for the winter 2023 edition of Third Act magazine. If you don't know Third Act magazine, check out their website at www.rdactmagazine.com, thirdactmagazine.com, and you can find all of my archived articles by searching my name, Michael C. Patterson. And by all means, check out all of the other great articles as well. This article is called Transcendent Equanimity, and it explores how equanimity can help us to flourish as we age. I've come to suspect that the mental state of equanimity is the key to aging well. No matter how hard I try to stay fit and slow the aging process, time and fortune will eventually erode my physical abilities, subject me to increased discomfort, and shrink my world. My happiness and quality of life, therefore, will depend more on my mental attitude than on my physical condition. I find the aphorism, "Pain is inevitable, suffering is optional," instructive. I will experience pain, loss, and disappointment. I have no choice in that regard. Shit happens. But I hope to learn to control how my mind reacts to my changing reality. I hope to interpret my experience mindfully. Rather than freak out and amplify my struggles, I hope to accept my reality and make the best of it. I hope to swim gracefully in the flow of the aging process, wherever it takes me. The Serenity Prayer has been quoted so often that it sounds a bit cliched, but there still is wisdom in its advice. My quality of life as I age will hinge on having the mental serenity to accept conditions that cannot be changed, the courage to change what can be changed, and the wisdom to know the difference. This is a workable definition of equanimity. I have some ideas about the mental changes that might help me develop greater equanimity about my advancing age. Oddly enough, for a lifetime atheist, I think a good checklist for mental change can be found in descriptions of mystical experiences. Mystics identify a consistent set of mental adjustments that I associate with equanimity. In a mystical experience, for example, there is a dissolution of the sense of self, coupled with a profound feeling of unity with, quote, the great beyond, or, you know, whatever it is that we call it, whatever, however we want to characterize the mystery of existence. Be it God, Tao, the Qi, the web of existence, cosmic consciousness, natural forces, physics, and so on. One important mental adjustment, therefore, will concern my sense of self. I'll need to ramp down my egocentrism. I am not, it turns out, the center of the universe. Life does not exist to serve my needs. Life isn't fair. And I was never promised the rose garden. Greater humility will help reduce my attachment to pet projects, to favorite ideas, to strong likes and dislikes. And the Buddhists tell us that attachment is the root of all suffering. So, there you go. Less ego, less attachment, less suffering. Better quality of life. For the mystics, loss of self leads to, or perhaps is derived from, the revelation that we are not rugged individuals. We are instead highly dependent and interconnected expressions of the entirety of existence. I understand and am awed by this revelation on an intellectual level. I haven't felt it to the core the way mystics do. I'll keep working on that. I have made a significant mental adjustment that I believe gets me closer to mystical revelation. I've come to realize that my lifelong fascination with science will not, cannot, answer all the mysteries of experience. Experience is just too complex, bizarre, and creative to be comprehended by the human mind. But, and this is the real revelation for me, not knowing is okay. Ambiguity, contradiction, uncertainty, and mystery are acceptable states of mind, even desired states of mind. They lead to a sense of wonder and awe. I no longer feel compelled to understand the mysteries of life. This revelation allows me to relax into my old age. No need to understand or explain it, just live it and be amazed. The term equanimity is constructed around the idea of equality. When we relate to life with equanimity, we give everything equal value, weight, and importance. Now, on the one hand, this can mean that our emotional reaction is modulated and perhaps muted. The mental attitude of equanimity reins in our emotions so that they don't run amok. Shit happens, but it's okay. Not that bad. Terrific things happen. Enjoy them while they last. They will fade. All is good. This is a very useful mental attitude. But I'm more excited about cultivating another possible expression of equanimity. In this expansive sense of equanimity, everything is equally miraculous. It is a miracle that existence exists. Every single expression of existence can and should be seen as wonderful, awesome, breathtaking. This is not the equanimity of acceptance and adjustment. It is the equanimity of transcendence and revelation. And it is a joyous awakening. My mind still struggles to embrace this mystical relationship with existence. I probably need to stop thinking about it and surrender to a state of uncomprehending awe. The wonder of life just is. I can't explain it, nor is there any need to do so. Life and death are different expressions of existence and, as such, are to be fully embraced and celebrated. This is a state of joyous equanimity, of transcendent equanimity. If I can embody this form of transcendent equanimity, get it into my bones, life, old age, even death, will not only be tolerable, it'll be fantastic. I'm still working on it.